Welcome to Creating the World's Best Client Experience. This is the business edition of our successful Tuesday flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I'm Allison Kay. I'm a 30-year health and fitness veteran turned business strategist and retreat master. And every Thursday, we're talking about what it takes to create client experiences that actually matter. Because here's what I've noticed. Client experiences have become impersonal, transactional, digital only, and frankly, boring. There, I said it. But the truth is, a client experience is so much more than a transaction. It's about what goes into creating transformation, the strategy behind it, the intentionality, and the human connection. And that's what we're exploring on this show. Whether you're building retreats, hosting events, creating high-touch programs, or reimagining how you serve your clients, this is where we talk about how business owners can create different experiences within their businesses. Experiences that don't just serve clients, they transform them. So if you're ready to go beyond the same old automated funnels and cookie cutter approaches, you're in the right place. Let's dive in and get into the show. Hey everybody, it's Allison Katzkowski. Thanks for joining me again for another edition of Creating the World's Best Client Experience. This is the business edition of our Tuesday flagship podcast, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care, which a lot of you already listen to and follow. And today, I'm kicking off another mini-series. I am going to go pull the curtain back behind the scenes and share with you guys a pretty big announcement that it's been public for about a week. And I've been thinking about how I wanted to talk with you all about this because I always believe in being 100% transparent. I always want you guys to see and hear my thought process, all the behind the scenes, how I make my decisions. For me as an entrepreneur, I'm always so curious to see how other people operate and how they make choices and how they decide to either make changes in their business and grow or pull back and do something else. And today, what I want to get into, and before I get into what I'm going to talk about, by now, you guys have probably already heard, and it's been public since April 1st. CU Fitness and the Allison Kay Agency has acquired Luxury and Business Retreats, which is a full service a retreat business that was started and created by a colleague of mine, Erin Haig. And she's been a guest on this show before. We recorded an episode last year about pricing and profitability in retreats, which is really what she's most passionate about. She's written a best-selling book and works with a lot of people privately on the pricing and the profitability strategies in their businesses. She also has a certification called Pricing Overhaul that she's created. And so if you're not familiar with Erin's work, I would really suggest that you go back in the episodes from last year and listen to the episode that we recorded together about that. It was over last summer. And I don't have the episode number in front of me, but it was shortly after I had gotten back from attending her Champagne, France retreat, which, to be perfectly honest with you, set all the dominoes in motion for what is happening right now today. And I'm going to get into that a little bit of that. When I get into what I'm going to share with y'all today. But what I want to let you know is that I'm going to make this a two-part series. I really think today, as a lot of people decide to either make changes in their business, whether that's grow and expand, or maybe it's pull back and, you know, get rid of things that are no longer working, I think there are a lot of not just anxious thoughts that go on behind the scenes, but there's a process to it. And I think for so many of us that haven't been through it, you know, I really wish I would have had an idea of a lot of the work that I've had to do the last 3 or 4 months to make this possible. It's not that I didn't know it on a logical level, but until you've been through it, I don't think you really appreciate the depth of how much belief and how much capacity you have to build as a business owner. And look, as an entrepreneur, that is always the work. We will only take our businesses as far as we push ourselves to grow and expand personally, right? You know, when you're an entrepreneur, your business and you are really not separate, right? Because how you show up is how your business will perform, and how your business performs is usually a function of who you are and how you operate and what you believe and all of that. But I really think when you look at acquiring a business and expanding your own business, you are really being challenged to go to a whole nother level of you. And what I want to do today in part one is kind of give you a little bit of the behind the scenes mindset and belief work that I have had to do on myself. I have talked openly about my work with a mindset coach over the last 5 to 6 years. She's been a guest on this show as well a couple of times. Her name is Liz Nicholas. If you are not familiar with her work, I would really recommend that you go over to Facebook and look her up and join her Facebook group, the Mindset Mastery School. She shares a lot of fabulous free content in there, and you can really sort of get to know her and her body of work. And all that being said, you know, a lot of the process that I went through is a lot of the work that I've done with her and a lot of the concepts that I've learned by working with her. And obviously, having someone guide you, I think, is a lot more powerful than just trying to wing it on your own, too. But I just want to be very clear that this process just did not fall out of the sky and happen. You know, I think a lot of people in business make decisions on growing and expanding, adding team, creating new things. And for a lot of people on the outside, you kind of wonder, like, how did they really do that? You know, what was really going on behind the scenes? And, you know, what could I learn from this, right? That's always where my brain goes when I hear of a new development in someone's business or, you know, changes they're making or whatever. And so, you know, I really want to be as transparent as I possibly can, because I think that is really how we learn and how we, you know, create a sense of transparency and openness and honesty, which I feel like is really lacking today online. There's just a lot of people out there selling a lot of bullshit that they have no business selling. There's just a lot of people that make promises they can't keep. And I never, ever want to put myself in that category. I don't even want to come close to that category, which is why I always want to get in here and tell y'all, when we add new things and when we do new things, I always want you to know what my process is behind the scenes, because I think there's a lot to be learned from that. Not that I'm putting myself on a pedestal, but I think there's a lot to be learned from just having an open conversation. And that's really what I want to do today. So first of all, before I get into the meat of what I'm going to share with you, I have several points here that I want to get into. And then before I sign off, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that for part two, Aaron and I are going to record an episode together and talk about how we made this happen. But before we do that, I wanted you to hear from me, not just that this is official and this is going to be amazing for, you know, all of you who have been on retreat with me and who are thinking of coming on retreat with me, but for all of you out there that want to have retreats and maximize them in your business in some way, that this is an absolute win-win. This is a case of two professional colleagues coming together and spearheading a movement and really making decisions on what is really in the best interest of their clients and for the industry in general. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that, you know, there's a lot of people out there wanting to be chiefs, and there's just not a lot of Indians, right? And I feel like at the end of the day, you have to really understand what your skill set is and what you're really good at and what it is that you want to be focusing on in your business. Because when you try to focus on too many things, your energy gets spread really thin, and then people get confused and they don't really know exactly what you do, right? So, you know, I really want to lean into that a little bit too. And you will see in part two, when you hear Aaron's and my conversation, you know, how we actually work through this decision together, how she approached me, how we figured out a plan, and how we're actually transitioning now that it's official. She's still working with me inside of the business to ensure that everything goes smoothly, because we're really in the transition period right now. But before I get to any of that, I just want to go ahead and lead with this. I don't think anyone says out loud when they announce a big business move, "I'm making a big business move." I think there are people out there might that say, "Hey, stay tuned. I've got something coming. I've got something brand new coming. Be on the watch." I think people do that. I know that we do that a lot. But I have to tell you, there were plenty of anxious moments during this whole process where I wasn't exactly sure that it was going to come together. I didn't really doubt myself and what I wanted, but there were just a lot of things that were not within my control. There were lots of things that needed to line up, and they needed to line up just right in order to make this work. It's not because the numbers didn't make sense. They absolutely made sense. They made sense from a business perspective, for me and my growth and what I want, but they also made sense for the type of programs and the offerings that we do and how we best want to serve our clients that want to learn how to add retreats into their business. And it really wasn't because the timing wasn't right. The timing was actually great. But there was a part of me, if I'm really being honest, that struggled with trying to feel like I was the best person to do this right now. And that's really the story that I want to share with you today, because You know, if you're sitting somewhere in your business on something that you really want to do and you're not sure if maybe you're the one to carry it or do it, then what I want you to understand is that, number one, it's perfectly okay to think and feel that, okay? But number two, I think what's more important is to really take that as an opportunity to challenge yourself on what you truly believe is possible for you. Because for me, that's where all of my work was in this whole process. And it wasn't that I didn't want to say yes. I obviously said yes. You know, we're official. We officially now own Luxury and Business Retreats. There's no secret with that. Okay. But the reason behind all of this really wasn't about the strategy. Okay. It really wasn't about putting all the pieces in place to grow your business. It was really all about building capacity and belief at the end of the day. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today. So what I want to share with you first is kind of where I was before all this happened. As you know, if you've been following me for a while, you know, we've gone through quite a few changes, particularly since the pandemic, when I was mostly operating in person. I did have a small online presence. Then we had just broke into retreats. This was 2018, 2019. We were starting to leverage online. We had made the decision to downsize our main studio location in downtown Raleigh, where we have been for almost 18 years, into a smaller location that really was set up a lot better for us to operate virtually and in person. And that was where we launched teaching the hybrid model, because we had figured out a way to do it. And I had a lot of people reaching out to me, asking me, hey, how do you do that? You know, and that's really when we kind of arrived on the scene with our process, because we felt like we had worked through it. We had worked through a lot of the kinks, you know, my team and I, and we had figured out what we were really good at and effectively what we felt like we could offer other people, right? So it was really about, at that point, understanding that retreats was something we absolutely wanted to be doing more of. And so I remember my coach challenging me on that. She's like, if that's really how you feel, that's something you need to really look at. And I think when we're good at doing something for a while, and for all of you that work in the health and fitness industry, you know, for years, our mainstay was in person. And if I'm perfectly being honest, it probably always will be a big part of what we do. But the virtual space has come on big and it's really not going anywhere. And my prediction is it's just going to get bigger and bigger. And so if you're a business owner and you're not leveraging online, then you're leaving a tremendous amount of revenue and impact on the table. I'm just going to say that right now. And I know a lot of people, a lot of my clients particularly that I've talked with, have really resisted the online piece. I don't really feel like I'm good at it. I don't want to be online all day. I don't like social media. Totally get all that. That's all reasonable. I really feel like you either really like social media or you don't. There's really not a lot in between. But as a business owner, it's a necessary evil. You really have to be able to leverage it, or your business will not only will it not grow, but people literally will not know about you. Okay. And I think as a business owner, you have to always make sure that people know about you. Okay. I'm not saying that you have to rely strictly on it. Okay. In fact, I'm never going to tell anybody to do that. But you're really foolish if you're not taking advantage of it, okay? And that's just how I feel about it. So you can take that or leave that as you like. But I can remember, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years, as we've really grown the retreat part of our business, we've expanded and offered, you know, domestic, international. We do business retreats as part of my mastermind. And so it's really sort of something that I've become known for. I have a lot of people that reach out to me on a regular basis and ask me, people that I don't know, hey, where are you going on retreat next year? You know, I want to take a look. So, and that's when you know that what you're doing is really catching on, right? And so I knew in my heart that this was something I really wanted to pursue. But I also know that this is a very popular thing right now. Retreats are very popular with the public right now. A lot of people have bought into the whole idea of it, right? People that love to travel and then combine in some type of client experience with it. It's just kind of a no-brainer. Not only that, but it's a great way to really embody, you know, the message of getting out of your comfort zone, really transforming like a set of limiting beliefs or, you know, a way of living and being that's really holding you back. There's really nothing in the world that will challenge you more than travel, right? At the end of the day. And so a lot of people have bought into this. And so the travel industry has literally exploded, particularly since the pandemic. And so a lot of people have kind of bought into this idea. Now, with that said, there are a lot of people doing retreats now that really shouldn't be doing retreats. They struggle to fill them. They don't know how to price them. They're constantly bartering and discounting rooms because they just simply want bodies in the bed, right? And it just, you know, it really kind of pushes those of us that really make this a big part of our business kind of to the bottom with them, right? And in a lot of ways, there's just a lot of money mindset, a lot of scarcity mindset in the retreat industry. There's sort of this bullshit belief out there that you can't help people and make money at the same time. And I'm just going to go on record and say that just absolutely could not be more not true than anything else. You know, if you make this a part of your business, then you deserve to be paid what you're worth, right? And make a profit at the same time. Because when you do that, you can help more people, right? And that is how I feel. That is how I operate. That is what I believe. And I know a lot of people out there will say, well, you know, you don't need to be charging but this much or whatever. But, you know, look, putting retreats on costs money, not to mention it takes your time and your energy and all of that. And if this is your business, then you deserve to be paid what you're worth, right? And there are a lot of people out there that I feel like I'm at battle with every day over this one idea. It's one of the reasons that Aaron and I get along so well and why we form such a really good friendship and business partnership is that we both are singing from the same book here, right? But I share all that with you because I knew this was an area that I wanted to expand into. I just wasn't quite sure the best way that this was going to happen, but knowing that there are a lot of very good people out there that do this exact work. And when you're competitors with a lot of people, I think you have to really understand that, you know, people make retreat decisions in a lot of ways based on personal beliefs, like personal relationships that they have with the host and with people that are going. And so the work is always to keep expanding your network. Because at the end of the day, people are going to make a decision based on what they think is best for them. And a lot of times it's because they know the person doing the retreat. And Erin has a terrific network. I've gotten to know a lot of her people. Some of them have come over and worked with me. Some of them are coming on my retreats this year. And so it's really been a very good, it's been a very good collaborative relationship. And so I remember back last fall when I was sort of, I always use the fourth quarter of the year to think about what my goals are for the next year and get very clear on what they're going to be and what I'm going to need in terms of support, if I'm going to need support, and what all that's going to look like. I do all that before the year is even over because I always like to start the new year off with a bang. In fact, I usually start the new year in December. That's usually when I have a lot of outreach going on. We usually, you know, are re-signing clients or we're signing new clients. And so I always sort of think of my new year starting before the year is over. And so I remember sitting here at my desk one day working on my exact plan for 2027 when I had a message from Aaron asking me if I would be interested in acquiring luxury and business retreats. And at first I thought, this isn't real, right? Because I think you think about how many times in your business you think of, you know, things that you want to be doing. And then immediately you either get a message or you get a hit from the universe or somebody reaches out or something. And you're like, that didn't just happen, right? I'm not going to lie to you. I felt all of that in my body, okay? And so I went back and I said, yes, I would love to talk about this. Because look, if there's anything that you learn in business is you can jump at a really good idea. But until there's a strategy and a plan in place to make it happen, you're really just kind of speaking into the air. And so there were obviously a lot of things I didn't know. While I was familiar with her business, I didn't understand the structure, like how everything was set up. You know, I knew a lot of the people that were working with her, but I didn't know how her process worked for feeding people into her retreats. I had an idea, but I didn't know all the ins and outs, right? And so I knew then that this was something that I wanted to explore. And I also believe that there really is no such thing as coincidences in life. When things get put in front of us sometimes, you have a decision to make. You can obviously decide what you want it to mean, but you can decide how you want to move forward with it. But things don't just fall in your lap by accident. You know, they don't just fall out of the air, right? There's a reason why they're put in front of you. And the reason is that nothing would be put in front of you if the possibility wasn't there that you could do it, right? That's just how the universe works. You know, you don't just randomly get assigned to things because you can't do it. You get assigned to things or you get exposed to things because the possibility is there for you to grow and for you to achieve more. And so I knew that this was something that I wanted to pursue. I also knew that I had, and I've noticed this about myself really over the last year, year and a half, is that I'm feeling an incredible calling to do more work in this space. I feel like having an opportunity to do these experiences with people, not only is life-changing, but it is a fantastic brand differentiator for somebody's service business. And speaking of somebody who lost almost everything that I built in the 2020 pandemic, there's a part of me that wants to ensure that that never happens to anybody else in business. And part of that is setting yourself up, not just for success for the future, but being aware of what the public really wants right now, right? I'll stop short of calling it a trend because I really don't think it's a trend. I think it's something that we're going to keep seeing because the wellness industry is growing by leaps and bounds. And when you add travel to it, the possibilities are just endless. So I feel like the opportunity is there and I feel like the potential is enormous, okay? But there was a part of me that was struggling with figuring out how I could do this. You know, I've worked very hard to bring myself back from 2020, and a lot of it there's been a lot of things I've had to let go. There were a lot of relationships that I had to basically let go. There were a lot of people that I used to work with for years that are no longer working with me, and that's not because, you know, I didn't want to or they didn't want to. It just really wasn't a fit anymore with the direction that I'm going. And so there's a lot of work that you have to do with that emotionally and mentally because you have to be okay with letting things go so that you can create room for what's coming in next, okay? And I think a lot of business owners sort of stop themselves there because they don't want to let go of what they've been doing, you know? And there's a lot of fear with that. There's a lot of scarcity. There's a lot of anxiety. I don't know how I'm going to make money if I don't do this. And so 100%, anytime you're looking to expand in your business, belief is always at the center of it. Belief and capacity, because you will never be able to do more in your business without expanding yourself. Okay. So if you're sort of at a place in your business and you're kind of figuring out what's next, or maybe you're struggling with the decision, or maybe you're trying to figure out, you know, what to do in terms of how to push yourself to grow more, take a look in the mirror and ask yourself, where do you need to work on yourself in order to make this happen? Because that was kind of where I found myself, if I'm being perfectly honest. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is Cellevate.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this. And truly, at the end of the day, expansion was really not on my radar in this capacity. My thought was to continue to try to grow my existing programs, to try to leverage some new audiences, and to, you know, get myself on some stages and do some speaking, because I've been doing a lot more speaking the last couple of years. And that was really what I was thinking. And then all of a sudden, this opportunity came up. And I just knew in my heart that this was something I really needed to explore. And so, you know, we really can get very comfortable inside a container that we build. But at the end of the day, there's a part of you, you get to a point and it's not that you don't want more, but you sort of become aware of the fact that you want more, but that you're outgrowing some of the things that you're doing. And I've sort of felt for a very long time that expanding my audience has been a real necessity, and anyone in business can relate to that. I love my clients now. I love the people in my audience. I love the people that I get to serve every day. And I want more of that, if I'm being perfectly honest. And so, you know, I think you sort of have to have a come to Jesus moment with yourself that, number one, it's okay to want more. It doesn't mean I'm not grateful for what I have. But number two, I realize I'm going to have to do some work on myself if I'm going to do this the right way, right? And that's kind of where I was. So the moment when it really got real for me was when I really got into, like, started really thinking and imagining what this could really look like. And that's when I knew that I was onto something. I started thinking about what else I could offer the people that were already inside Aaron's Retreat Profit Society membership, which is now one of our programs. What else do they need to be successful? And how much fun could I have doing that? These are like some of the questions I was asking myself. And how much fun is it going to be to do more retreats, right? Yes, please. You know, I was like all in and all ready. But there was still a lot of doubt, if I'm being honest. There were a lot of moments where I was like, I don't know how in the world this is all going to come together. And I think there's so much a part of our brain that wants to know the plan. We want to know what's going to happen. We want to know what to expect. But for a process like this, you just can't. You have to literally trust the process and trust that it's going to be revealed as you go along. So my first conversation with Erin, we talked all about why she had made this decision, why she felt like I was the right person. We're going to talk about this a lot when I have her on for part two. So you definitely don't want to miss that episode. But we talked a lot about what she felt like everyone needed and where she felt like the business could best go. And she also was very candid with me and saying that she felt like I was really the person to take it to the next level. And I think if you talk to her about that, she would tell you that too. I'm not just saying that to pump myself up, of course, right? So, you know, the doubt was really like in my head was, okay, there's no way this is all going to work. This is way too big. And there's no way you can manage one more thing, right? But then the other piece of the doubt was like, who are you to really be able to position yourself as the go-to person? There's lots of people out there that are doing retreats. So, you know, are you that much better than them? Now, look, of course I believe in my work. Of course I believe in my ability to lead a first-class retreat and help my clients achieve transformation. We have a more than 50% return rate on all of our retreats for that reason. And, you know, we have people asking us every single week where we're going on retreat. So, you know, it's not that I don't think people believe in what we do, but I think at the end of the day, you have to believe in what you're doing, even when you don't know what anything looks like and you don't have any evidence that it's going to work. That was the other piece that I was struggling with. What if I get into this and it doesn't work? What if I make all this commitment and it falls apart? What if nobody wants to stay, right? These are all questions that I was asking myself, right? And I'm just being perfectly honest because anyone who's been through an expansion can probably relate to that. But what I had to figure out was the difference between, I don't know if I can do this, and I don't yet believe I can do this are two different things, right? So what I had to figure out was, and what I learned in all of that early process was, is that this really wasn't about strategy. I could figure it out. I've built businesses for the last 25 years. I started CU Fitness on a shoestring back when I was just out of school, you know, and had no equipment or nothing. I had my cell phone, I had a stability ball for a chair and my wobbly desk and a laptop. That was all I had. And I did it. And so there was no doubt that I have the knowledge that I can make this work. But where I was really struggling was in the belief and the capacity that I could actually bring this to life and make it work, not only make it work, but really grow it and make it even more profitable than what it is now. Okay. And that's, you know, you can have every playbook in the world and you can still be afraid. You can still have doubt. You can still wonder if you're actually going to be able to do it. So, you know, everyone always wants to know, how did you do it? But nobody wants to really talk about the questions that you start asking yourself at 2 and 3 in the morning. And believe me, there were plenty of those nights where I was like waking up and my mind was racing. Okay, if I do this, I'm going to have to think about this. And I'm going to have a conversation about this, and I'm going to have to look at my time management when it comes to this. I mean, the questions were just endless in my mind, and in a good way, not just in a panicked way, but in a good way. Okay. And so eventually, you know, once we had a few more conversations and we agreed on some terms and I signed a letter of intent and put down a good faith deposit so that I could actually take a look under the hood, very common practice in buying a business and acquiring a business is you want to make sure that everything is what it's presented to be, right? And Erin, if you know anything about Erin, she's very generous with her time, but she's also very real and authentic. She doesn't really hold back. And so I didn't have any doubt that any that the things that were presented to me were accurate. But there's a part of me that just had to go in and see it for myself, right? You just have to do that. It's just good business practice, right? And so as we got into those conversations where we got into the platforms and we started looking at the financials and how people were signed up and what the contracts look like and all of that, is that that's when I knew it was getting real. And I thought, okay, I've still got a window here to back out if this isn't going to work, because a letter of intent did not legally bind me to anything. Okay. Now, it was a good faith promise. It's a lot like when you buy a house and you sign a contract and you put down a good faith deposit. That was where we were, but we had not signed the asset purchase agreement yet. Okay. So there was still time for me to walk away if I felt like that was in my best interest. Okay. And so what I really realized at that point was, is that number one, is there really a window here for me to go back, and would I want to go back, right? And in that moment, what I had to ask myself was, what do I really believe is true about this? Like, I know what I believe is true because I can see it with my eyes and I can read copy and I can understand the meat and bones of a business, right? But what I had to really ask myself at the end of the day is, what do I believe is possible for me? What do I believe is possible for me to achieve when I acquire Luxury and Business Retreats and make it part of the Allison K brand? What is possible for me? What do I believe is possible for me? And what could be really fun about this? But in the same breath, I was asking myself, what really scares the shit out of me about this, if I'm being honest, right? I mean, it's a big undertaking. And there's a part of me that was like, well, crap, what if everyone leaves? What if people don't decide to stay? What if people say, you know what, I'm out? I mean, let's be honest, those thoughts were definitely there. And so what I had to really decide in that moment was, I had to start believing in what was possible before I could see any evidence of it. I literally had to paint a picture in my mind of what I saw this becoming. How many new members did I want coming in? What did I want future retreats to look like? How did I see myself as the leader of this incredible program? And how could I possibly add this in to what we're already offering here at CU Fitness and the Allison K Agency? This is all belief work. And the weird part about it is that we literally have to believe before we see that it's working. That is the most tricky part. And I'm not going to lie, it's not pretty all the time. This isn't an instance where you're just going to write down, I believe it's going to work, and it just works. You know, That's just not real. And anyone who tells you that's the case is just full of shit. I mean, it's just not true. So you have to believe before you see evidence. And the way you do that is you have to figure out what you want to be true. So you kind of have to play with some thoughts that really make you feel good. And so for me, some of those thoughts were, this is going to be incredible because not only am I going to be able to offer more support, but people are going to have a lot more touch points. I love that because I'm a teacher at heart and I love that. I always want personal touch points, or how I built my first business. That's why I never move away from one-on-one coaching. It's why I love it, because it's in my DNA. It's part of who I am. And so I had to really sit with and find the thoughts that really got me excited, because there were plenty of thoughts that left me anxious and I didn't want to be dwelling on that, because the truth is what you think on a regular basis is eventually what you'll become. And the way you know this is that what you see in your world starts to reflect it back to you. That's how our brain works. Our brain starts to filter out the things that aren't congruent with what we're thinking and believing, okay? So, you know, if you believe all the time on a regular basis that you're not good at being online and running part of your business online, then everything that you see in your world is going to prove you right. You're going to see evidence because you might reach out to someone and they don't respond, or you might do a social media post and nobody comments, or you make an offer and nobody buys. You're just creating evidence of what you already believe. So part of belief work means is that you have to create your own evidence before you even see it happening. That's the odd thing, is that you have to pretend that it's there, right? It goes against everything that we're taught, right? And for me as a science nerd, I want to see the evidence. I'm all about the data. Show me the number. Show me the data. I want to see that it works. What are the trends? What are the percentages? That's easy stuff you can wrap your head around, okay? But belief work is no joke, and it's not always pretty. But I can promise you that when you stay in the game, the miraculous thing about it is that you will start to create your own evidence. You will start to see evidence that what you believe is true. The problem is most people don't stay in the game long enough to do it. They do it for a few days, maybe a week. They don't see anything and they give up. But usually you have to stay in it longer than that. And that's the real tricky part, is that you have to learn to navigate when the anxiety comes up. You have to learn to let it be there, because what you're excited about is that much greater, right? And that was a lot of the work that I had to do on myself, is that I had to choose what I wanted to believe before I saw any evidence that anything would work. And I've shared this publicly, but my one word for 2026 is faith. I've done the one word challenge for the last, 7, 8, 9 years. And, you know, I usually don't share my word at the beginning of the year because I feel like I want to always try it on. I want to feel like it's mine. I don't want to jump on a bandwagon because somebody else has a word that I think is cool or whatever. I want to make sure it's my word. And the way I know it is that it embodies itself, literally, in what I'm thinking, how I'm behaving, how I'm showing up. Basically, that's how I know that it's my word. And the other way that I know that it's my word is that I start to see it pop up in places. Like I'll read an article and there it'll be, or somebody will be talking to me and the word will come up. I mean, I'm not kidding. This is really how it's happened for me over the last 4 years or so as I pick my word. Well, this year, my word is faith. And because everywhere I've looked since December, this word has popped up. Have faith. Have faith in what you want. Have faith that you're on the right path. Have faith that you will figure it out. Have faith that you will find the answers. Have faith that you can actually do this, right? It's shown up in so many places. I can't even list it. And I sort of knew back in February that this was my word before all this was official, but I still wasn't convinced because there was still that part of me that needed to keep doing the work. And so faith sort of became the lens through which I made this decision, okay? And it's literally, think about it. When you have faith, you just operate knowing that something's going to work, even if you don't see evidence that it's going to work, even if it makes no sense, even if it defies logic, when you have faith, you are certain. And when you're certain, you know what? You're anxious, but there's a sense of calm about it. There's a sense of excitement, but it also comes with a side of calm because you know that you're going to figure it out. You know it's the right decision. And that is exactly the way that I felt as we navigated through this process, okay? So the difference between expanding the strategy that's involved with acquiring a business and blending it into your own is learning to expand your own container, right? Like my container, Allison K's container, right? The belief work is the capacity work, okay? So what finally shifted for me was sitting with this long enough to know that if I didn't do it, I would regret it. And I think sometimes when we're making really tricky and challenging decisions, whether they're in our business or in our life, you get to a point and you're like, if I don't do this, I know I'm going to regret it. And you can't really explain it. You can't define it. I can't give you the laundry list of all the reasons why I did. It was just a feeling that I had that I knew I couldn't, that if I walked away from this, that I was going to get months down the road and I was going to regret it. I knew that. Now, that's not really FOMO. It's not really that. And it wasn't a matter of believing that I didn't have what it takes. I think a lot of people jump into things because they see it as sort of the shiny object, is like the one thing that I don't have, right? That's not what this was. For me, this felt internal. This was, you know, a nod from the universe saying, I've got you. I know what you want. And I'm going to help you make this happen. And here's an opportunity that's going to move you in that direction. I knew deep down in my heart that if I did not pursue this, I was going to regret it. I knew that. And that was a chance I was not willing to take. And ultimately, that was the final straw for me in moving over into signing the asset purchase agreement and moving forward with the close, which we became official on March 31st. And so it really was a process of steps, but I just cannot understate the fact that the belief work was such a big part of this. And look, capacity is not just mindset fluff. It's not just something that you read about and talk about and boom, you have more capacity, okay? You know, it's a practical sense of honesty within yourself that you know you can hold more, right? You feel like not only are you capable, but you have this feeling that you can handle it, right? And you don't question that ability. So I really had to honestly assess my time, my energy, who I was as a business owner, because I knew that was going to change too by taking this on. And so the version of myself in November of last year did not have the capacity to do this the way that I do now. And a lot of that has been because I've challenged myself every day to stay in belief that this is going to work. And I'm not going to lie, there have been a lot of moments where I've just wanted to opt out. You know, I mean, that's what we want to do as human beings. When things get hard, we want to quit. You know, we don't really see the point, right? And when you have to believe before you see the evidence that it's there, it's even tougher. Because you feel like sometimes you're operating on blind faith. Like you're just kind of out there by yourself and okay, I'm going to jump off the cliff and there better be a net down there to catch me, right? That's kind of how I felt some of the time. And so at that point, once we made it official, is that Aaron and I have worked strategically behind the scenes during this process to roll out the announcement from how we've told the public to how we've told our members to how she's actually helping me transition. She's going to help me transition for the next 3 months. That was written in the agreement. And we're going to talk a little bit about that when I have her on for part two. So again, you really don't want to miss that episode. It's really going to be a lot of raw and real moments. We're going to talk about when we actually signed the agreement. Neither one of us was actually in our homes when we did it, you know, and there was a lot of back and forth. There were moments when I almost let the cat out of the bag, literally, with people. And so, you know, and all of that is just very real, but it's also relatable. I think we can all relate to that, right? And so really what I want you to hear and understand at this point is that there's a difference between being stretched and being broken. And expansion should stretch you. That's what this process was for me. It was an exercise in expansion. It didn't break me. If something breaks you, that's not challenging you to grow. That's simply just not a good fit. So I really want you to think about that. So if you've been through something and you feel like it broke you, odds are you probably did learn something from it. So I'm not going to suggest that you didn't learn anything. But if something breaks you, that's probably not a process that you want to repeat, right? And I'm not saying I'd want to go through this process again, but I can tell you that I've learned a lot about myself and my resilience, my ability to stay in the game when things get really tough. I think it's one of my superpowers. And I also am super excited about where this is leading, because not only am I excited to work with all the amazing ladies that are inside the Retreat Profit Society, but I'm also excited for my clients and for the people that I have yet to work with, because I feel like now we have a complete package of services and tools that we can help retreat leaders be successful today, right? And so what Luxury and Business Retreats is going to become, okay, is it's going to be much more of a full service messaging, selling, filling, and executing retreats. You're going to be able to get all of it here. And it's not that I'm not going to talk about pricing and legalities and all of that. We're still going to do that. But the beauty of this whole arrangement is that Aaron is now going back to what she started with, which is the pricing and the profitability. I'm going to be able to focus on what my strong suits are, which are, you know, designing offers, being able to market and sell it, getting really clear on your promise and your through line so that your business all fits together. It's basically the process I've done all of these years. And so we both feel like this is a really good fit, not just for people, but that because of the fact that we're so good at what we do, we can actually own our lanes more, okay? And so this acquisition has probably been one of the most on-brand things that I've done in my whole entrepreneurial career. When I think back to how I expanded to open my first studio, to how we started to go online, to how we made the decision to let the studio model go and why we still operate some in person and, you know, 70-80% virtually. It's a testament, not just in evolution, but in understanding what's happening in the industry and what people want. Okay. And so when I think about where I'm going as a leader and a business owner and stepping more and more into retreats, not only does this make sense from a brand perspective, but it makes sense because I can finally really own what I'm good at and what I really love. It's not that I couldn't own it before, but I feel like because of the fact that this more or less eliminates a competitor, but it also allows both of us to support each other fully. Okay. It's just a win-win for everybody, we feel like. And I don't really necessarily feel like this added one more thing to my plate. I feel like this deepened the direction that I'd already made the decision to go in. And that's what really makes it powerful, is that sometimes we don't have to add something new. We don't have to decide to go off and figure out something brand new. That sometimes the decision is simply owning your lane and going deeper in it, right? And so, you know, basically what I want to invite you to here is to come on a retreat with me this year. We have 4 experiences planned. We're going to Key West the end of May. We're going to Blowing Rock, which is a beautiful, bougie little mountain town, in early August. We made the decision to move that experience from March to August due to feedback from a lot of people. And we only have 2 rooms left. And then we're going to Sancerre, France in September. This is going to be Erin's last retreat as a host. I will be there too, dovetailing and helping her teach it. So if you would like to have an experience, a retreat experience with both of us, Sancerre is the one where you want to be. And our promise is going to be to show you how to profit 6 figures from a single retreat. So you definitely don't want to miss that if that's on your radar. And then the very next week, I'm going to be doing my final Allison K retreat of this year in Portugal. It's our European experience. Last year, we did Italy and the Amalfi Coast. This year, it's Portugal. Next year, we're fleshing out kind of where we're going next year. So stay tuned. I'm going to be talking about that on future episodes. So what I want to do now is kind of leave you with a couple of things to think about before I sign off. And that is, what expansion are you thinking about that maybe you're avoiding or maybe you don't feel like you're ready for? And so the real question should always become, it isn't just the strategy, but do I believe that I'm the person who gets to do this? Do I believe that I'm the person that can carry the torch and make this work? Okay. Those are the questions you always need to be starting with. The strategy will figure itself out. Okay. And then in part 2, again, Erin's going to be joining me. We're going to be dropping that in 2 weeks. So today is April the 9th. That episode will be dropping on April 23rd. You definitely want to check that out. We're going to be talking a lot about, you know, a little bit deeper about our conversations and how we were able to make this happen and what the future looks like really for both of us. So anyway, that's where I'm going to leave it today. I would love to know what you think. You know, if you're struggling with the decision to expand or not expand in your business, please feel free to reach out to me. You can write to me. You can connect with me on my website, www.theallisonk.com, and just connect with me. Or you can connect with me on any of my socials. On Facebook, I am The Allison K. On Instagram, you can find me on LinkedIn as well. We always love to hear from you. And know that we're grateful for all of you, whether you're listening today for the first time or whether you have been following me for a while. We do appreciate all of you. And that's what I got for you this week, folks. Part 1 of, when do you know it's time to expand in your business? And how do you navigate the internal process that goes with that? That's part 1. I'll be back for part 2 in 2 weeks. So that's what I got for you, folks. We will see you next time. Bye.